This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to our guest for the day. It is Oanda Senior Market Analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Good morning from London, Kelvin.
Afternoon over MIN over here.
Now, let's first maybe look back a little, because the effect of the non-farm payroll report on Friday has had an effect on markets where you are. The latest jobs report showed hiring growth dropping dramatically last month. Unemployment ticked up and the non-farmers were 73,000 jobs added in July, far lower than the 100,000 expected by analysts. So how have markets reacted to that news?
So definitely, if you look at from last Friday perspective, market reacted pretty much negatively in terms of the US stock market performance. So all the major US stock indices are down on Friday. The most remarkable move has been seen on the FX market. So basically, if you look at the since X-Post FOMC meeting, which also took shape last week as well. So that's on the middle part of last week, where Fed Chair Powell has been pretty much stubbornly adhering to his wait-and-see approach before deciding whether to actually reduce interest rates for the US economy. And just a quick recap, so far the Fed has been on hold since the start of this year, and market participants has been pushing down the can. Initially, we're talking about the first cut to come in July. July has passed. Prior to the FOMC meeting last week, market are looking at somewhere around a 60% chance of a cut to come in the September FOMC meeting. But after that so-called rather stubborn Fed Chair Powell press conference to maintain his status quo of wait and see, that 60% odds of a first rate cut in September for 2025 has been greatly reduced to about 40% chance. So that was the release before that non-farm payroll data. So the dollar actually strengthened pretty remarkably according to this stubborn Fed Chair Powell stance. But after that rather weak non-farm payroll numbers, is not only the weak print on July, but in fact what shocked market was the prior 2 months of downward revision. So we're talking about the revision for May and June. The numbers actually was revised downwards below that key psychological 100k jobs per added. So with that 3 months of rather low number, so that actually indicate that the US labor market has starts to actually soften, and also the unemployment rate has ticked up slightly higher from 4.1% to 4.2% for July. So that actually implied that the Fed may be actually late in the curve of doing that so-called first interest rate cut in 2025. So because of this, we call it a dialback of expectation, the Fed Funds futures traders now has starts to actually raise their bets and now looking for a September cut to be live again. So right now, as we are speaking right now, based on the CME FedWatch 2, Fed Funds futures traders are now assigning a high chance of 80% chance that the Fed will got to move in the on the 17th of September meeting, bringing down the Fed funds rate to 4% to 4.25%. So that's actually an implied 25 basis point cut. So that actually causes the dollar to tumble pretty remarkably on the intraday basis on last Friday. And what's interesting over here is that, yes, the US stock market tumbled as well because of that so-called very weak US labor print. That also rises the fear of stagflation risk again, because prior to that, we have seen that PCE numbers rather stubbornly high, elevated. But for Asia, because Asia tends, stock market tends to move inversely with the dollar. So since the start of this year, the dollar has been pretty weak, and that also kind of created a kind of a positive tailwind for Asia Pacific Stock Index. So this positive tailwind starts to actually be re-engineered back into the market again, I would say, based on that rather sharp bearish reversal on the US dollar index since on Friday. So in fact, right now, as we are speaking, most of the Asia Pacific benchmark stock indices managed to actually recover from last week earlier losses. Some of them just snapped up, put a halt to their previous 3 to 4 consecutive session of losses, with the Hang Seng Index up by almost 1%, 0.9%. the Straits Times Index, which is the Singapore benchmark indices, also managed to put a pause on its 4-day of consecutive decline that was seen early last week, managed to gain by 1.04%. Marginally, one of the outlier will be the Japan Nikkei 225, which is down by negative 1.25%. But what's interesting over here is that it managed to actually trim its intraday losses. So its intraday losses was earlier at about close to negative 2%. So it managed to trim slightly to actually be lesser at negative 1.25%. And where it trimmed exactly at the test of its 20-day moving average, I think, as a support. So net-net overall, it seems to be creating a positive feedback loop into the Asia stock market as we are speaking right now, due to a rather softer dollar that is still back into the narrative in the FX market.
Kelvin, I see that oil is on the slide today. Have those non-farm figures had an effect on the oil price, or are there other reasons for that?
Definitely. So for sure, on Friday, both the Brent crude and West Texas crude oil actually tumbled, also due to a very weak print on the non-farm payroll data, indicating that demand potentially could be lesser into the second half of this year. So that causes oil prices to tumble close to 3% or slightly more, depending on which benchmark you look at it. So the West Texas crude oil, WTI crude oil, tumbled by negative 3.10%. And as we are speaking right now, both Brent crude and West Texas oil is extending their decline to negative 1.3% each. Brent crude slightly lesser at negative 0.9%, but both of them are actually showing further signs of weakness. Because of right now we have start to see weaker demand coming from the US consumers, potentially also an overhang of supply itself, because over the weekend OPEC Plus still continues to be in their gear of their production hike since the start of this year. So yesterday they concluded that the cartel, together with Saudi Arabia, decided to add more barrels starting next month, which is September. Another additional 547,000 barrels per day starting in September. So that more or less should have already completed the accelerated reversal of a 2.2 million barrel cutback that was made in 2023. So the next meeting itself will be pretty much debatable whether OPEC Plus will continue its production hike, or will they start to pause and see how the market react according to this double whammy of potentially an oversupply glut that is coming into the market, coupled with weak demand as well, firstly from the US consumer, and potentially we should see how does it react. Also due to the fact that we have tariffs that is being implemented by US throughout the rest of the world, so that could potentially kind of curb global external demand for oil price as well.
Okay, Kelvin, what about the week to come? What are the highlights for you that we should look out for?
Sure. So this week will be not so much of a hectic week as compared to last week, but definitely a few couple of important data prints that we should be taking note of. Tomorrow, which is the 5th of August, on Tuesday, we have the release of the all-important ISM services PMI data for US, which is considered as a tier one leading economic indicator to gauge the health of the US economy. Why? Because services activities constitute close to 3/4 of US economic growth. Is a main driver of US economic growth, and any signs of a slowdown will potentially increase the odds of the Fed interest rate cut bets to come in into September, and that could potentially influence the US dollar significantly as well. So that will be the ISM services PMI for July coming in Tuesday on the 5th of August. And over to Japan, we have a couple of important data to take note of that could influence the dollar-yen and the yen crosses. Why? Because the dollar-yen also see a pretty much sharp bearish reversal downwards back below the 150 level, psychological level, and back below the 200-day moving average from exposed non-farm payroll data released from last Friday. Similar as well, on Tuesday, we will have the average cash earnings potentially is actually a salary survey data from Japan to actually have a gauge how its wages continues to rise in Japan economy. So if wages continue to be a healthy blip year on year basis from month of June, because market is expecting an average cash increase for Japanese workers to increase to 3.2% year on year in June from 1.4% year on year printed in the prior month of May. So that will be an important data to take note of because that could potentially influence Bank of Japan monetary policy decision, where market participant is still looking for a potential interest rate hike before 2025 ends. Not cut, it's a hike in Japan, like based on a Bloomberg survey, the latest survey, according to the Economist, they're actually looking for a chance to come in October meeting. All right. So then going forward over here is that we will have Bank of England decision as well coming in on the 7th of August over here, which is Thursday. So for Bank of England, as usual, market participants is not looking for a big change this time around again. So market is actually looking for a 25 basis point cut over here. So that is more or less being kind of penciled in the after the prior meeting, given that it was on hold. So given the labor market also has starts to turn rather soft in UK, coupled with a couple of weaker indicator as well, especially the services PMI data that was out in a couple of weeks ago. So that could actually reinforce that 25 basis point cut, which is kind of almost pricing by market participants. So market participants will be on the lookout for the way the members vote, and as well as the monetary policy statements that come out after it. Will there be signs of more interest rate cut going forward? And given the fact that Bank of England is also kind of rather less dovish as compared to other major central banks, like for example the ECB itself. And over that, as we head into the weekend over here, we also have on Friday two key Japanese data to watch. Will be on the 8th of August, household spending, followed by Bank of Japan summary of opinions that could potentially influence the FX rates, FX market via the yen crosses over here. And do take note that over the weekend, we have one tier one Chinese data that could have a possible spillover impact when the markets open again on Monday, 9th of August, which is the China inflation rate and the PPI rate for the month of July. So market participants will continue to see whether China will be still in the state of a deflationary spiral, because in the last few months, we start to see signs of deflationary risk more like kind of tempered off after a slew of monetary policy stimulus that has starts to spill out by the China top policymakers since 1.5 years ago. So market participants will be paying close attention to the inflation rate and PPI data for July for China that's to be out over the weekend on 9th of August, this Saturday.
Excellent stuff, Kelvin. Thank you very much for joining us today. We will speak to you very soon.
Likewise, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.